Well, we are at Medina Country Club, and the famed course number 3 going through quite an extensive renovation. And joining us here at Golfers on Golf is Mike Hocking of OCM, the firm from Australia that's been brought in to do the project. Mike, welcome to Medina. Welcome to Illinois, the States, and everything else in Golfers on Golf. It's nice to have you here.
Thanks, Rory. Yeah, nice to be here.
Tell us a little bit about the process that your firm went through in attempting to landing this historical project that many are viewing as the most extensive and probably the most expensive renovation in Chicago golf history.
It was an interesting period. So in 2019, we were doing our first project in Texas, so Shady Oaks in Fort Worth. It was getting toward the end of that project. It was, I think, about March 2020. I want to say. I got an email from Steve Cook, the superintendent, to see whether we'd be interested in having, you know, being part of the list of architects. And then COVID hit. So it went from being thinking, I'd talked to Ashley and Jeff and sort of said, I'll probably pop up and, you know, we'll have a look at the course. And then literally in the space of 2 or 3 days, we were emailed to say, you've got to get home. You may never get back to Australia if you don't go now. And it was all, you know, there was a lot of unknowns, and, you know, it was fairly scary. So we'd fortunately basically finished Shady Oaks and came home. And so it went from elation to thinking, you know, we might be a chance to do the work at Medina, to thinking, well, there's no chance we're going to do anything now. But it was, I mean, credit to the club. They were still very interested, and it just changed how we worked. The club's got some amazing historical records. We had topographic plans. We had a good friend of mine who lived in Chicago was able to fly a drone and take photos. And I kind of was on the phone with him saying, okay, well, can you go over here? Can you go over there and get certain views? And so we kind of assembled enough information to at least put a pitch forward. And I think our pitch was I don't want to speak for Ryan and the club, but it was slightly different to what the others, you know, that they were looking at, had looked at. And we fortunately had some work here on the ground in America, so we convinced the club to go to Shady Oaks and actually have a look at what we've just done, speak with them, and they liked what they saw. So we got to the point where we were engaged. We did a master plan. A lot of that work was done still remotely because of COVID. And then Ashley and I got over here. We got special government permission to leave Australia, which was kind of a big deal, right in the wave of COVID, you know. And we came over here and it was like the promised land. Like, there were no masks, no, you know, it was fantastic. It was fairly normal. And so we stayed for about 2 months, spent a lot of time here at the club working through, you know, with this early concept we did from Australia. Actually, we came here and we found that it worked really well. And we were a little bit apprehensive about it because the last 6 was a pretty dramatic transformation. You know, the first 6 there was a bit of restoration work. Some holes were kind of kept more or less as they were, different bunkering, but the corridors were the same. But those last 6 was a dramatic transformation. And we're very pleased that what we put on paper worked really well on the ground. So, and then it was kind of a 6-month process, I guess. Members tours, videos, animation, sort of trying to get everyone on board leading up to the vote. And the vote went through and here we are.
Well, in the early days, even though it had been some years since he had been here and played here, yeah. How important was Jeff Ogilvy to that, due to the fact that he had played in a PGA here, he had played during championship week here,
yeah.
And I know Reese Jones came in and did some things for those PGAs, also made some changes in advance of the 2012 Ryder Cup, but Jeff's knowledge of maybe being on property at one point, how important was that in the early going part of the process?
Oh, it was definitely helpful. I mean, Jeff had experienced the course, you know, more than we had. So, and particularly during tournament week. And you know, this is a unique, what's unique in the sense that you're designing for kind of 2 masters on one hand, you know, in reality for 98% of the time, 99% of the time, it's a members golf course, you know. So it needs to be playable, interesting, still a challenge because it's the premier course of the 3, I guess. But it's important that it holds up in tournaments. So, having Jeff's lens, I guess, as a tour player certainly helps in that regard. Yeah.
Well, there's been so many great things said about this gem of a golf course for years, but if it had one little minor knock on it, was some people would say all the par threes look alike. Was that taken into consideration at all when you started routing or rerouting that, hey, let's take that out so nobody can ever stand up and make that argument again?
That was part of it, yeah. We just felt like, so the three par threes, you know, 13, 17, and 2 were fairly similar. 13 and 17 were very similar because they both played in the same direction and both crossed Lake Kadaija, similar length. Then we didn't feel that there was a sort of a world-class short par 4, and we didn't feel like the lake had been taken to its full advantage. So if you were given this land without a golf course, you know, you would have absolutely tried to work that water into perhaps a more interesting way than just playing directly across it with, you know, the 14th par 5 and then the 3 par 3s. And the way it was used, typically affected the average golfer, not the very good golfer. And so that was kind of the genesis of the idea of rerouting the last 6. And, you know, it's probably started with 17. Every time we stood on 17, our eyes just kind of gravitated to the right where you saw this long diagonal line of water. And it felt like it could be a great short par 4, like a cape hole. And then with that change, we were able to make a change to one of the other par 3s where it played alongside the water rather than over the water. And we used the water on more of a diagonal rather than directly across. So, yeah, that was kind of – there were 3 or 4 things that kind of played in our minds, and that was why we suggested that major change.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seemed like phase one, if there was such a thing of this project, maybe started – last year, some trees yep. started to go down. And then this year, once you were able to clear the spaces you wanted to work in, you went out and you started creating some of the sand and dirt piles we see out there today.
Yeah. Yeah. So, a little bit of preliminary works last year. And then as soon as the snow melted this year, we were into the north side. So the north side's pretty much done. So we're going to be seeding next week. So the north side is new 1, 18, 16, so that cape hole. The corridor that was the old 18th hole is now a short course, so it's a 5-hole short course, and then there's like a kind of a Himalayas type putting green out there that's linked to the short course. So it's a really interesting area. It looks fantastic as you drive in, fantastic for kids, families, you know, it's a fun little area. So that's basically the entire northern side all sewn up, and we're shaping at the moment now in the south, so we're on to hole 5 and 6. We'll probably get them done over the next few days. And then, we'll continue with that. And then within 3 weeks, we're going to basically have finished half the golf course. So mm-hmm. it's moving quickly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the one thing that's been said about this project is people say that the heavy lifting, so to speak, is on the back 9 and not so much on the front. Would you agree with that? Or there's still a fair amount of work happening on the first 9 holes of the course?
You mean in terms of actual work?
Yeah.
I would say the heavy lifting is mainly around the lake. Yeah. So the new hole 2, 17, 13, 16, 18, 1. So that's where most of the sort of the big cuts and fills are. Once you get out in the back corner, yeah, less so. But there's still work to be done there.
Well, those who remember Medina from years ago remember how many trees were out here. And little by little, through various projects that Rees did in the past and with this one, there's always been some tree removal. Mm-hmm. How extensive is it this time around?
Most of the trees have been removed over the last sort of 15 or 20 years. We were chatting about it last night, actually. And, there has been some removal involved with this phase of work, mostly to do with that reroute where we're changing corridors and what have you. But historically, there has been quite a lot of tree removal here, and a lot of that's been to try and create a consistently firmer, faster golf course. You know, there wasn't a lot of there was basically no drainage on the golf course. So the combination of drainage and some tree removal is going to help, you know, airflow and help dry the golf course out. Mm-hmm. So.
One of the questions people always have when you do a renovation project is, how much yardage are you adding to the golf course, or are you trying to restore back to what it originally was from the old photos and the old designs that you said that you've had access to?
It doesn't get a lot longer. It possibly drops par. I mean, it's a long golf course anyway. I think it might be plus or minus 50 yards, I would say. So I think it gets to close to 7,700 yards or 7,650. But there's a couple of holes where in tournaments, we would probably suggest that they go from par fives to par fours, mm-hmm. which in effect adds length. You know, I mean, the drop of a par is kind of the equivalent of adding 150 yards, if you like. So it becomes a very strong, you know, par 70 or par 71 in a tournament.
Well, since you've got out here and you've started turning up the dirt, what have you found? What's been the most interesting part of this project so far?
Well, you know, I guess historically, every time someone builds a golf course, you know, they bury all manner of sins. So you do find lots of old irrigation pipe and, you know, various things. No great surprise. Oh, well, actually, there was an interesting one. The White Sox. That was interesting. So they found an irrigation shutoff valve, I guess. No, it wasn't irrigation, drainage over by Lake Street. And no one could figure out what it was. And I believe the urban legend was that the White Sox were looking at relocating in the 80s to some land opposite the golf course. And they did some sort of deal with the golf club. It was a wetland and it needed to be drained. And so that drainage pipe was, they had some sort of agreement to drain the wetland into the golf course. And that's what this pipe was. So, yeah. It never happened, of course, so the pipe was redundant, but that's probably the most interesting thing.
Well, I know there's still a long way to go, but have you been able to do something out here already that maybe has exceeded what you originally planned to do or the expectations that you had?
Everything is turning out, you know, well, something like the 16th hole, the Cape hole, it was fairly steep ground and it was quite heavily treed, so we were confident that we would get a good result there, but it's probably exceeded our expectations. We've managed to flatten that ground out really nicely, and the hole is coming together really, really well. So the couple of areas where there was some steep grades, things have turned out better than expected. So far, you know, fingers crossed still for the rest of the project, but so far so good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that happened when Tom Doak was out here working on course one was some of the tree removal led to being open up views of this great historic clubhouse that we're sitting in. And has certain things been done out there, whether it's tree removal or other things, to perhaps bring some views of the clubhouse from the other side of the property?
Yeah, you do get a few extra views of the clubhouse now, but I think some of the most interesting views on the course now are actually views of other holes from the holes that you're on. So, you know, one of our design traits, I guess, is using short grass to kind of link holes together rather than just having them bordered by rough and trees. And when the contrast between short grass linkages and feature rough really becomes quite very aesthetically pleasing. And so we're starting to see those linkages. We've probably added a few extra linkages as well. And I think that's going to become a real feature of the golf course. So, views of other holes, I would say.
Well, I know that Mother Nature plays a hand in this, but is there at least a more or less target date to have the golf course back open again for the members next year?
I think soft opening's still sort of scheduled around that June 24. That means, you know, we need to have everything seated by pretty much the end of September. And that's at this stage, that's all on track. Mother Nature's behaving. We've got some nice dry runs of weather. So, yeah, that it'll be kind of a mid-next year opening.
I know you'll be anxious to hear what the members have to say, but at the same time, will you be anxious to see what the professional players do if they stop out in advance of the President's Cup or at least Championship Week?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We'll be like nervous parents kind of, you know, waiting to see, you know, what everyone thinks, as you always do. But yeah, so far we're very pleased with how things are going. And we think the membership are going to really like what we're creating.
Well, the winner of the 2019 BMW Championship, Justin Thomas, told me at the tournament last year, he said, well, I hope they're not blowing up the course because of the score I shot in 2019. But he goes, when it's done, I'll be very anxious to get back out there and see it again, perhaps even in advance of the President's Cup, which I know he's expecting and hoping to make that team. But, you know, do you think it'll be interesting to when the first time that some of the players actually get back out here, maybe even if they don't make the President's Cup team, to get out here and see what's been done, and guys that are probably trying to grind in 25 or so and make that team?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it'll be interesting to see what the tour players think. They, you know, tour players often, they look at the game through their kind of lens of how they play the particular game. So, you know, people that are straight hitters like narrow golf courses, people that are wild hitters, you know, like wider courses. So, you know, you need to keep that into perspective. It'll be interesting to see what they think when they come back.
Well, has your company picked up some additional work in America? Are you working more? I understand there's a par 3 project in Minnesota, but is there anything else that OCM has been able to or will be doing now in the United States?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're currently building a new golf course down in Georgia, south of Atlanta. It's a 36-hole golf course. And we're about half done there. So it's quite a big project, great piece of land, pretty sandy ground, lovely client. So we've been working there. We started there in January last year, but it's kind of fairly hush-hush. Then we've got a new project in Minnesota. So it's actually a full private golf course, 18 holes, but there's also a sort of a par 3 component there as well, you know, the secondary to the golf course. And we still work at... still do some work at Shady Oaks, do some consulting up at Stanwich, and plus we've got a few other prospects that are kind of floating around. So, yeah, I mean, to be honest, half of our business is in the States these days. It's pretty much divided 50-50 between Australia and here.
When's the next time the rest of the team, when Jeff and Ashley will all get here with you to take a look at this?
It'll be early July. Yep, so 2 more weeks. So I go home Wednesday, and then, yeah, basically 10 days later, Ashley's here. I think on that trip, Jeff will be here, and then I'll be here as well a couple of days later. So, yeah, we kind of divide our time, you know, spread between different projects. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Has this been a fun project so far?
Yeah, it's been great. Yeah, no, enjoying my time here. Yeah, fantastic.